Hello, everyone. I want to read this famous quote. The best and the most beautiful thing in the world cannot be seen or even touched, but just felt in the heart, by Helen Keller. I've worked 30 years in education, and some of my favorite kids are the ones that are on the spectrum. So my hopes is to share, help, and provide some insight from my experience. Hi, everyone. I hope you're having a blessed day. Today, I'm going to talk about some things that you should know about autism. It was an article I read on the internet, and they had 20 things, but I'm going to combine some of them because to me, they're kind of this talking about the same thing and add a few things to this. So the first one they had on there was, it's not anyone's fault. And we know that it's not anybody's fault that you have a child that is on the spectrum. It just happens, and I don't think they really know 100% why it happens, but it is on the rise. We do know that. Either you have somebody in the family or you know somebody that has a child that is on the spectrum. The second thing they had was, a lot of kids are misdiagnosed, especially girls, because girls learn better social cues, so they don't suspect it as soon. The other thing is that sometimes girls are delayed until they're in their teens before they get diagnosed. That's why usually if you're a teacher, you know, you have more boys than you have girls usually. And that's one thing. And the other thing is that every child is different. You cannot compare your child with another child because everybody's different. It just like every other child is different if they're not on the spectrum, and so is your child. Equal opportunity, more common than cancer, is diabetes and AIDS combined. That's how many people are on the spectrum. More common than cancer, diabetes, and AIDS combined to have a child that's on the spectrum. That's something, isn't it? Political correct. So, you know, nowadays we have to be careful how we address people. So do you say that your child is autistic or a person with autism? They don't like to be called low or high functioning, which I didn't know that. But so they don't like that. But we do use that term. He's on the spectrum, but he's high functioning. And early diagnosis is very helpful. The more extra time you have, the better. And I've seen that. I've seen where parents, you know, learn early, usually by 2 or 3, they know. And then they start working with them right away. And they start getting the resources right away. And that makes the difference. I live in a community that don't really have the early diagnosis. I guess they used to, but since I moved here, it's nothing I have seen before. When I was in California, they did, you know, or 0 to 3. And then at 3, they could go into the to school. The cost of for autism, and this was 2014, the lifetime cost is $1.4 million support for an individual. And even though they talk about the cost and I mentioned it and stuff, you know, to me that's low man on the totem pole. You know, we need our kids to have the support that they need. That's to me the most important thing. Who cares about the cost? It's just money. Intervention. Everyone can grow. It doesn't matter what age you are, adult or anything. Just like if you've seen one of my podcasts, a short one I did, Drawings by Trent. He does shirts and cups and all kinds of stuff. And he came up with some of the ideas. Right now, he's got one where it's a man and a bear with me, you know, kind of thing. So he does some cute things. So, and everybody can grow. When I was a teacher, I didn't care how low you were going to learn. It wasn't an option. It was a requirement, and you were going to learn, and everybody did. And then think outside the box. There's no cure, okay? But they can continue to grow and learn and function and hold jobs and things like that. Don't ever give up. Even if I'm going to use that term, are they very low? And I don't mean that. Everybody can learn something. And so, and the other thing with no cure, I have people that have come into my room, the parents I'm talking about, and think that I'm going to be able to cure them. And there's, I can't. I wish I could. I wish I was capable of doing something like that. That'd be fantastic. But I can't. I can't cure autism. I can help your child to grow and become better than they were yesterday. And that's how I always looked at it. Spoken language. A lot of people get nervous about this when their kids are 3 and 4 and they're still not speaking, but that doesn't mean they won't speak. And there's a lot of new technology out there. There's laser treatments now that they do on the back of the brain, and they are able to, you know, start talking. They may start parroting first, you know, repeating after what you said, and that's okay. That's a good sign. And then after a while, you'll start hearing them on their own, not with you repeating something, but on their own starting to say words and sentences. Just have to give them extra time. And they need love too. Now, I know that kids that are on the spectrum are hypersensitive to everything. And so this is no different. But they still need to be loved. You know, you get that shoulder hug from an autistic kid. And they just need that hug, maybe not the way we normally hug, but they need to be showed some type of praise and love and concern. They're no different than anybody else, and they need to have that. And then there was a study, the other thing was a family, what they called family affair, a study in Denmark where 7% are more likely to have another child on autistic. Now, identical twins were 60% that both would be autistic. And fraternal twins was only 24%, which is kind of high still, but not as high as 60. And then 10% of autism have other disorders like asthma, epilepsy, feeding and food digestion, sleeping, sensory. And usually most of them, it only said 10%, and I think it's higher. I don't think it's just 10%. I've never seen an autistic kid, and I've been with a lot of them that didn't have something else. One of them, like sleeping or picky with their food or something like that. The other one is called, and I hadn't heard this one. This was kind of new to me. It's called hyperlexic, and I think I'm pronouncing it right. It's when you're reading above one's age. Like usually they say it's between 2 years or at least under 4 years. And fluent in two languages, which I see that. I have seen kids, it's the one of the boys I'm working with, he speaks both Spanish and English. And sometimes he's singing a song, and I know what the song is, but he's singing it in Spanish. And I don't speak Spanish. Unfortunately, I didn't learn it. And we have to remember that autistic children are still children. They still need to be able to play and have that time of being a kid. They may not have the skills to communicate, but they still need to be able to play and be a little kid. Creative geniuses, a talent in music, theater, dance, or putting things together. Sometimes they're very mechanically inclined too. So sometimes they have another superpower that I want to kind of call it. Beyond high school, what happens to them beyond high school? They can go to college. They can also go to trade, get a trade school. Or they can also just, you know, if it's no more than working at a grocery store stocking. They're capable of doing things, many of them. And I know that there are some on the spectrum that may not. They're maybe, you know, in a wheelchair or the mobility or something that's going on. But a lot of them do. And even if your child right now is very young, don't think that they can't grow and become productive. They can. The other thing is that we need more research. We definitely need to be able to have more research, and we need more treatments and better support for our kids that are on the spectrum. There just isn't enough. And I'm seeing a lot of parents choosing homeschool, which is not a bad thing. I think it could be a very good thing, but it's also a very hard thing, you know, because a lot of times parents have to work or, you know, they have to sacrifice going down to one parent, or they have to hire somebody to come in. There's a lot of, you know, drawbacks to homeschooling too. And not that I don't think they can get a good education. I do believe they can get a good education at home. And please stay positive. You know, many things will be working out, will work out. They will thrive. Just try to be positive and help your child to grow and be stronger than they are today. Well, I hope that you enjoyed today's little podcast, and I hope you will share it. I enjoy doing my podcast, and I'm enjoying doing this about autism. Since I've been doing it, I've just been flooded with all kinds of stuff, so I'm trying to decide what to put on and what not to put on. But anyway, I hope you have enjoyed today, and I hope you have a blessed weekend. Or not weekend, it's Monday. I'm doing this on Monday, but I think I'm going to release it today. I was thinking about that. And I have one that will be released tomorrow. I try to put 2 to 3 out every day, or every week, I'm sorry. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And if you have any comments, let me know. And I'll be happy to answer them. My email is Deborah@055@gmail.com. Thank you.